Let's get it.
Get your phones out and Shazam this bitch.
This shit's gas. Welcome to the heat. Welcome to 2D Podcast. Every Friday, you know the fucking vibe. A little late this week. It don't matter. We're here.
That's because we're releasing on recording day.
Fuck you. Hey. You guys know the fucking vibe. We out here. We live. Brazil-Croatia game going on right
now. Yeah,
we're going to be watching live.
We had the game on. Neymar just scored. For anyone who's keeping up with it, You would have seen that goal. But
disgusting.
It was gross. I was actually saying to Caruso when he passed the ball, like, to I forgot who it was. I was like, dude, what? I was saying, like, why the fuck isn't he shooting?
Exactly.
And then he gets the ball back.
Right back.
Dribbles past the keeper. I mean, it was quality. But we got an interesting brew.
Yeah. I've seen one of my friends have this before. I didn't try it, but it looked interesting.
Jamaican.
Yeah, so we'll see. Red Stripe Jamaican Lager Beer. It's going to be our first ever Jamaican beer, I believe.
Yeah.
Unless you could think of any off the top of your head. Bottle is very interesting.
Yeah, super different from like a normal.
Just imagine beer a regular bottle. Beer bottle, but there's no long neck. The neck is short.
Yeah.
But these aren't 12 fluid ounce, a little bit smaller, 11.2, obvious, for obvious reasons. But interesting. Let's have a little taste. Ooh.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
I don't know, maybe it's because I had a fuck ton of tequila last night.
Yeah, probably, but you hungover or no?
Not really, no.
So, just to give you reference, what Cruz was doing now, if he was hungover, is leveling out. So, for anyone who doesn't know, the best way to cure a hangover is not to take care of yourself. It's to have, like, a couple beers, maybe two or three, maybe more.
Jesus Christ.
And what that does is it cures the hangover. And you just end up feeling 10 times better. There was one time where I was profusely hungover fairly recently. We went out for bottomless mimosas. So I kept drinking. And, like, the mimosas weren't doing it for me. Still fucking... I mean, dude, I was, like... We're talking, like... I was so hungover, dude, I took a bath in the morning. You know? Like,
oh, that, one of them ones.
Yeah, it was, like, the worst that hungover I've been in a long time. I was super hungover. We go, and, like, finally after, like, 7 mimosas, I was like, dude, I need, like, something else. So, like, I ordered a Modelo, and I chugged the Modelo. Like, I mean, like, drank it like water, dude. And instantly, bro, felt so much better. It was insane. And the hangover was gone. I wasn't even, like, that lit, yeah. You know? But I was, like, kind of lit, so, you know, go. It's like leveling out, but we have to rate the spirit.
I'm having a few more sips. I feel like it's getting more neutral now.
I saw my boss drinking this when he was in Jamaica.
I'm getting like a very... Like you put a penny in your mouth. That's the taste I'm getting from this
beer. Yeah, but you get this sometimes with like some beers, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I have my ranking.
Yeah, I got mine too. Alright.
Yeah.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. 6-1.
Close.
Damn, dude, I was like on the edge between 6-1 and 6-2.
It was pretty six.
I mean, I always say this. I mean, the taste buds are just... I mean, this just goes to show, though, how many times we've gotten within, like, one. How much, like... This isn't just, like, random shit we just spew out of our mouths, you know?
Yeah. It comes from understanding. Fuck is happening.
And it's not like we're trying to get the same one, you know? Like, we're just honestly judging. Oh, yeah, you like that, guys. Fucking brutal one.
So, Paul, you got a pretty big announcement.
Yeah. So, I think... the podcast had just started when you were graduating college, right?
Correct.
I think we actually recorded an episode like in a similar time frame, like right before you finished up or something. Yeah, we did. I think it was like episode, go to season 2 or 3.
What was it? I don't know what title it was. What
do you went what, to? What you were going for? To Miami.
Oh, when remember? I was going to Miami. Oh, okay. Wait, I could just go.
Just put it
to the season titles, and look.
And
end of an era.
No, because that wasn't it.
Miami again.
Miami again, maybe.
6-4, because I graduated. And
no, no, I think it was before, though. I think it might be the one where...
It was season 3, though.
Yeah, all right, maybe. Go to that one, Miami
again. It wasn't the first season. We were still playing soccer.
No, I'm not saying it was the first season.
It's this one,
for yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying... The only reason why I'm saying it might not be that one, because I swear we recorded the day you were flying out, or the day before you were flying out.
This is just the release date. Not the recording date.
Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe. So yeah, we recorded like a similar time frame where like you were either graduated or graduating. I'm 10 days away from graduation from today.
Woo!
Finally.
College about to be over.
To say like it's a mixture of emotions is an understatement. I think that I've gone through like a lot in terms of like positive and negative experiences, which I kind of want to get into the negatives a little more into the episode, but the positives, like, I mean, the only reason I'll always say like I never regret it is like I never regret anything, because I think a lot of the stuff that I've been through at NGIT and stuff has given me positive like there's one thing leads to another. If I wasn't this, I would have never, yeah. I would have never met this. It usually has to do with people I've just met along the way. Like if I had quit the soccer team or something, right.
Exactly. When
I could have, I would have never gotten as close with like the boys and stuff, or I never would have had a chance. I think what, cause like it started off like early on, like my first semester, like, I was still kind of like, fuck, is it even worth doing this? And especially when, like, I don't know if you remember when, like, Ben and Sharif, like, got cut.
Yeah, that was a big question. I was
like, because it was like, because the thing was, those were the kind of, like, guys, not, because I was still, like, friends with everyone on the team, you know? Yeah. But, like, those were kind of the guys that I related to most, because, like, the team would go on trips, right? Yeah. And we wouldn't be on the travel roster, so we'd, like, stay behind. We'd link up we would literally link up in the locker room and box, like the three of us. We would like have like little boxing matches and shit. And like it was fire. And like those guys were like the guys that I kind of like related to in terms of not getting a lot, you know, like coach not really giving a shit about us, which like is normal. I mean, that's part of being on the team. Like that's your role. I mean, like, and I was too young at that point. I think like I came to terms with that quickly, but it was still early on. Like I came into college as a 17-year-old. Turning 18, you know, like, and like it's hard to like go, yeah, it's hard to become like okay with like not even just not playing, like not being like the coach is not like giving a single shit about you.
Exactly.
You know,
it's a hard
from,
mentality,
because everyone comes from like being that guy, you know.
Exactly.
So it's just it's a super hard adjustment. And like I really consider, especially after those guys quit, and remember we had a bad season, the coaches were tight, and Barbotto told me like multiple times, like, oh, we're gonna cut you, this, that. Like, I was like, all right, dude, like,
what's the point of staying?
What's the point of me staying? Like, if dudes are just gonna keep like if there's no point, you know, like, what am I gonna get out of this? What am I getting out of it, you know? And then I think like the spring, I kind of got like, I mean, we started like getting a little iffy, like, with like the drinking and shit. So like, I mean, like I started to get like acclimated to the environment, so to speak. And then I think the championship year arguably was my one of the hardest in terms of like school wise. Like I was really tight about being like where I was at school. Like I wasn't doing great, but at the same time, it was like the fucking funnest semester in terms of like us winning the championship, like getting lit. I mean, we used to get
going fucking... out on away trips.
Yeah, dude, we used to go. I mean, that's where like we set the standard. I know I'm going through. Sorry, everyone. We've probably talked about a lot of these experiences, but I just kind of want to reminisce a little
bit. Exactly. Let them fucking vibe. God damn it.
I mean, just the sheer like. I mean, we set the tone. I don't know how long it had been. I mean, maybe some people went out here and there, but like, no one really went out until like Caruso and I that day, where we said, "Yo." After Stetson 1-0 loss, yo, let's go get like Bogues. We went to like CVS.
That was the big
CVS. CVS. You don't remember CVS first? They were. It was right before closing. It was right across the street from our hotel.
Yeah.
They wouldn't sell us cigarettes. I mean, we were both underage, I believe. Yeah. And then, we sat in like this dude's whip who offered to drive us, but it was broken down. I don't know why
Caruso agreed to it. Oh my god, at the fucking McDonald's.
Yeah, yes, dude. We sat at the McDonald's and we're like telling this guy like we have to walk like to 7-Eleven. It was like a 35-minute walk. My god, and the guy's like, "I'll drive you guys." And like, dude, I was thinking like, I don't trust this dude.
Dude, this you know? Sketchy and Caruso guy
and Caruso with, like, just goes and Caruso just goes ever. Caruso goes Caruso looks at me and goes, "Yeah, sure." I was like, dude, we're going to die here. Like, that's what I was thinking, you know? Like,
bro, like, and we're sitting in the
back seat. Yeah, we're sitting in the back seat, and he's like, fucking has the hood open, like, trying to cool down his engine or some shit.
Exactly, he was.
And then finally, we're just like, all right, dude, let's just walk. Cause like, and he's like, sorry, guy. Like, yeah. Whatever.
Oh.
Oh my God!
Croatia
just scored. No way.
He's taking off his shirt. Fuck it.
Wow. Oh my God.
Look at the Croatian.
Wow, fans. That's insane. He's hit his Wow. I'm sorry that this kind of cut us off. This is crazy.
No way.
Oh my God, dude. Wow.
They're tight. I just kind of looked over and I saw they were breaking away.
I love when this happens because you think like the game's over. When, like, Neymar scores, you know? Exactly. And then, like, fucking the other team pulls some shit out.
Look at the build-up.
All right, so as I was saying, I'm going to continue. But the build-up, look at this. Fucking it's a quality goal here. It did take a deflection on the way. So, I mean, just, like, we end up walking. Dude, no one... Bro, we just dipped from the fucking, like, joint. And we made this mad long walk just to get cigarettes. We were chain smoking on the way back.
Yeah.
Cigarettes. And like, I mean, we get back to the hotel at, I have the timestamps. 1:19, we get back to the hotel. Lights out was at like 11:30.
Fuck that shit. They never checked the
rooms. So 1:19, they checked them this year. You know that?
Yeah. I heard that. I did.
But 1:19... We get back. We're coming up the elevator. We run into the boys getting out. Andy Alvarez goes, "Yo, we're going out to campus."
Yeah, right? For real.
We're like, oh, shit. So I stop in like Rennie and like Zach's room. And I was just talking to them. Like I was showing them the bugs. I have a video. But we end up dipping with them, dude. And it was just shot. Like we end up split. It was six of us.
Yeah, the group split. You know, the group split.
I don't want to get too much into the whole story, but... It wasn't, it was just
somebody
a funny,
lost their V card.
Yeah, but it wasn't one of the six, by the way. This was like a separate, I mean, it was crazy
he
how
left
many
first,
like,
right?
Yeah, he left while we were on the walk.
And shout out Ryan Malink.
Yeah,
the
Ryan,
biggest hero. Uber got
no,
this
no.
kid an Uber.
Ryan Malink, man. I mean, he was a big part. Like people don't realize, like, I mean, I don't know, like
it's
the season before we had an experience, like a graduate transfer like that. I don't know.
Really come
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Just come in and just like vibe, you know, like, and he was such a good dude, man. He's the one who originally came up with the idea of this podcast, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, who came up with the idea of Two Deep. So shout out to Ryan, man. I dude, we have to fucking have him on, dude.
He's in Cincy, though.
I know. It's well, no, he's in Chicago.
He's in Chicago.
Yeah, he's been living in Chicago. But dude, we gotta reach out to him, man. Get like figure out when he's gonna be back out here, cause like, he's the reason why we're here. But, and it was during that season where obviously the idea actually came up.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of got into that story too. And then the fucking Nashville shit happened, which was a fucking shit show in itself. It was the same eight dudes who went out at FGCU plus at Stetson plus Roberto and Rennie. Tristan didn't go out.
I have the picture of Tristan.
No, Tristan didn't go out.
He wasn't there?
Or maybe he did. I don't even know.
I could have sworn I remember Tristan's face in the picture.
It was so then somebody
Furkan, right? As well.
Furkan didn't come out because he graduated already.
Why am I must be mistaking a picture. Oh my god.
Oh fuck, dude. No, look, all right, here's the group. Tristan wasn't in it.
No.
So look, that's the group. It was Exposure, Ryan, Roberto.
Exposure.
Ryan, Roberto, Rennie, Juan, Nino, Diogo wasn't out. Yeah, Diogo. Yeah. Me and Caruso. Only two cats who were under 21. You know us. We were not missing the party, dude. We were not missing it. Never a doubt.
No. We had to go, especially after that game. Had to go out. In Nashville, you don't get that opportunity again.
And, like, I mean, just because I don't want to get into all these stories that we've talked about already, but just the sheer, I mean, the memories that we made, that kind of solidified me staying at NGIT for good. You know, and I mean, it's just been like that whole experience.
Take it back.
I would never take it back. I mean, I would never met Christina if it wasn't for the soccer team. Cause that's
wasn't for
how I ended up going to Teak because of you. We ended up going to Teak, and then that's how I met her. Right. I mean, like it's, I think the soccer team kind of defined like my experience at NGIT specifically, because that's where all my friends came from. You know, and I think that's what I'm most grateful for. In terms of the academic side, I mean, dude, it was a struggle, man. It's been a struggle. Like, it still is. I mean, I still have, like, a bunch of shit to do, but it's almost done, you know? Like, it's kind of like, I mean, I'll get right into, like, what we're going to talk about. Like, oh, fuck, dude, you missed it. That was a crazy chance. I just didn't react. But, just like, I mean, the experience in terms of academic wise, I kind of never really wanted to do electrical engineering. I still don't. But like, it's gotten to the point where I've become like okay with it, because like I kind of got fairly good at the power side of it. I hate the microelectronic shit. I can't stand it. My senior project involved it. I fucking hate it, man. You know, like that, even like my job, like I have a job, in the power industry.
Narrowed it down.
But like, I mean, people probably know at this point, I just won't say the name.
I think that,
like,
people who are watching it already know.
Yeah. People know because they know me well enough. But I mean, at the same time, like, I still don't want to say it, but even at my job, like I'm not super like you. You know, you're like enthusiastic about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not enthusiastic about what I do. And like, actually, I interviewed for another company, and one of the guys said, like, I asked him like if there's any piece, you know, like kissing his ass.
Yeah.
I said if there's any piece of advice you could give me, what would it be? And he said like, always pursue your passion no matter what, regardless of like money or anything, because you're just gonna end up being like unhappy. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of just stuck with it. I'm really thankful I stuck with it, because like it taught me so much to have to like work hard for something. Even though, like, it really, because there are times where, like, I really, really struggled, including, like, this semester specifically. Oh, shit, I saw what he brought in. But, by the way, the game's going to PKs. But, like, yeah, no, my experience taught me, like, how important it is to sometimes just bust your ass and just, like really work for something. Because to me, it's like, even though, like, I don't necessarily want to do this for the rest of my life, it's kind of like, this taught me that, like, I had a goal in my head, in my mind, to end up getting a degree and achieving something. Like, I said, no matter what, this is the biggest achievement I've ever had in my life. And people are like, oh, your college degree. But they don't understand. Like, it's really not easy. Like, how many people, like, stop doing engineering because either they don't want to do it or it's too hard?
Yeah.
And I had both of those kind of, like, thoughts go through my head. And, like, I've at this point, like, I don't want to say like I've made it, but I mean, like, I pretty
much
made it.
You're definitely on the right path. Like, cause here's the thing, like, what some people I feel don't understand is that you gotta work hard now so that you can relax later.
Yeah.
People who are taking that aren't putting in the work, they're gonna have so much more time at the end of their life that they're spent still working hard because they didn't bust their ass early on. You know, I'm working hard. I'm working. I busted my ass throughout college. Okay, but not only just with my art engineering degrees, we also played soccer. For me, I was heavily involved in TEEK. I wasn't just, you know, a random fraternity brother. I busted my ass in there, became president, was also vice president during my time there. And I did a lot. And what all that stuff prepared, and it was a lot of work. It was a lot of time management. But I gained so much knowledge and experience.
Full screen this, by the way.
I got so much knowledge and experience from that. That when I went into the real world, I was able to have a much easier time working with other people. And even now as an engineer, I'm busting my ass and I'm learning. And I'm going to be learning so much stuff. And even if it's maybe not something I don't want to be an engineer my whole life, right? I want to eventually move up to plant manager, maybe move up to sales, maybe go to another company, maybe start my own company, yeah. You know.
Maybe own a bagel shop.
I want to own Gourmagle. Okay, that's gonna be my fucking.
That's been an idea for years, ladies and gentlemen. Gourmet breakfast sandwiches. I don't know if you've touched it on that.
I haven't. I don't want to release too much information.
Yeah, yeah, don't do it.
Even just saying that name, I feel a little stupid because someone's gonna take it. But I think that, you know, if I want to do that, then I have to bust my ass now and work my way up fast so that I could start doing that by 45 years old. So that, you know, for the next 15, 20 years of my life, I could spend running that shit. But I have to put the fucking time in now.
Yeah. I mean, no, touching on the point, though, that you said, like, busting your ass now for later. I mean, yeah, like, so here, I always, for a long time, I was always of the mindset, like, I want to be rich when I'm young, you know? But, like, so I always wanted to find the next idea. I still do. I still have that in my head. Like, I want to give it a shot, mm-hmm. you know, to achieve that level of, like, financial freedom where you kind of have, like, fuck you money, right? And, like, obviously, like, there's certain things that I really have been trying to do or, like, just work for myself. But at the same time, like, I feel like a lot of kids our age really don't and people, like, who are older also experience this where they'll even say it. Like, people don't understand the value in retirement and, like, your later, like, years in life, you know? We kind of forget that, like, eventually, because if you really don't feel like working now, how do you think you're going to feel like...
Yeah, when you're older.
When you're older, you have a family. Like, you have grandkids. Exactly. You want to spend time with your grandkids. You don't want to work anymore, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it gets to a point where, like, you're tired. You start having, like, health... I mean, you know, you're going to have, like, some sort of health problems. And that's the thing. It's like, it's a constant... It also just comes down to, it's a constant battle in my head for, all right, the penalties are starting, but it's a constant battle in my head, like, oh, like, success.
Do we,
like,
want to take a pause and commentate?
Yeah, we're going to commentate, like, these PK... This
because, bro, penalty. I have not been pleased with the PK look at this one so far.
Oh,
right down the middle, Croatia scores first.
That's a good penalty to start.
Yeah.
What do you think... What's your opinion of, like, going down the middle?
I think it's what pussies do. I think be a man and actually shoot the PK.
Yeah, but, like, if you're in that situation, why not?
Stop, I mean, it's smart, but you're still a pussy. You asked me smart. My thoughts.
What
correct?
About the fucking Moroccan? What about Hakimi going for the fucking Panenka to end it against Spain?
Yeah, bro.
That come on, dude. That kind of takes some balls, man.
That takes.
That's not pussy shit. That's like balls.
Yeah, it takes balls.
Why are you sending these young bucks to take the PKs, man? Brazil's done, dude. I said it. If they go to PKs, they're done because they're sending up these young bucks. Wow. Yep, I told you, dude. You send up the young bucks, and this is what happens, dude. Because these guys aren't built for the situation, you know? Allison's going to need to come up big if they want a chance. Because, dude, the Croatians have been here. They have experience, you know? They're obviously under less pressure. I have no idea why you're not sending Neymar up, why you're not sending Thiago Silva up. Like, these are the guys that should start off the PK shootout. How many... We've seen a lot of first misses this penalty, this World Cup. Look, you're sending up guys right here who've been here before, you know, like who've experienced this moment, who've been in the like this, the World Cup final, you know? Like, these are guys who've been here, know the situation, don't have pressure. You see this guy, he's relaxed. And look,
down the middle again.
Dude, the Croatians, man, they look at this, man. They're fucking unbelievable. Because they're stepping, look, let's see who Brazil's sending up now. I'm really curious. You should be sending up guys who have fucking experience. Wow, Allison almost got the foot up.
Yeah.
Yes, good. Good pick. Casemiro. Because he's been in, although he hasn't been in World Cup situations, he's been in a ton of Champions League finals. Another guy with experience, but I don't think this compares to any pressure you have. You know, you could see he's a little bit nervous, but I think he's an experienced guy. You see that? That's how you take a fucking PK. Yeah. You see what did I say? You can't just
bury it to the corner.
You can't be sending up young guys like to take these PKs. Allison's got to come up big, man. I almost think like Ederson's the better guy at penalties. Home ball. Oh,
you're
wow.
You're not saving that. Nah, I mean, I think I've seen too many times people try to be cute at the PK mark.
Dude,
and
you
it
just,
ends up if you got a smart goalkeeper you, in that, you end step up. Actually you,
this
doing
dude's
more.
Not missing, man.
Luka?
Another guy with just, I mean, same experience as Casemiro in Champions League, World Cup experience. This guy's 37 years old. Croatians are doing the smart thing, sending up the guys with experience.
The vets.
That's who you put in these situations. You don't put the young guys in there who are going to fucking choke under the pressure. You know? Boom. See that? Easy.
Luka, easy.
I mean, these guys are going to win it, man.
They as long as they don't miss, they win. But nah, I've seen too many times people coming up trying to be cute and end up taking shit PKs.
So you see,
because at the end of the day, for a goalkeeper, right, there's things you could do to read, but at the end of the day, a lot of it's guessing.
Look, they're setting up this guy right here. So, this is another miss coming.
So even if you fucking, you know,
I feel bad because this guy's gonna get death threats if he misses right here.
Let's see.
Because like the other dude's like a young guy. I don't think Pedro's like that young, and like I always feel bad when like okay, quality.
But that's a shit piece. This is what I was trying to say before this guy shot, right? If you try to be cute, you end up taking
what do you think?
Let me speak. Fuck. You end up taking a shit PK regardless. So let's say the keeper just stops and guesses and goes and doesn't try to fuck with you and whatever, just guesses one way or the other right at the last second. If you end up trying to be cute, you take a shit PK, he's going to save it. Rather than just plastering it, so even if he guesses the right way, he's not saving it.
Yeah, but what do you think of the strategy of, like, watching the goalkeeper till the last second?
I mean, because sometimes like, goalkeepers are still. Yeah. It works sometimes, but that's what I'm...
Like Jorginho, like, I mean, like...
All right, Croatia for four.
Bang. Oh, my God,
side
dude.
Netting. That's it.
That means if Brazil has to score here... Ney's not even going to get a chance to take a PK, dude.
Neymar's last.
Look at this. Dude, look at that.
See, but that's what I'm saying. He just blasted it to the corner. It doesn't matter what
now
what
Brazil's...
Allison does. It's not going in. He should score.
He's got experience, Marquinhos. He's an older cat. But I don't know, man. Insane if Croatia wins this game, dude. Right here. If they save it, it's done. I hope he doesn't. I want to see Croatia take another PK. Oh my God! He hit the post!
Wow.
Oh my God!
Wow. Marquinhos. Oh.
Insane, dude. Insane.
Keeper's running away. That's the best moment. The best moment you can have as a keeper right there.
Wow, dude.
Marquinhos, what happened? Brazil out.
Dude, Brazil, these guys are crying their ass off. Croatia into the semifinals. Dude, ridiculous, man.
Brazil had it and lost it. They were up 1-0 in the second half of overtime, and they fucking fumbled the bag.
The favorites down.
So now... The question becomes, is France going to take it all?
I think now that's...
That's the only possibility, in my opinion.
I mean, this is crazy.
Portugal looked really good. But they were playing Switzerland, so it's like, what's the problem here? All right, game's over.
Yeah, let's shut it down. Hang on, I gotta make fun of my Brazilian friend. Hang on.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, he fucking deserves it. Anyway, so I see, back to what we were talking about, I see where you're coming from in that, you know, you don't really have any motivation, but what I was trying to get across is that even if this isn't what you want to do for the rest of your life, you know that it's beneficial for you. Yeah. You know that having this experience, even if you don't want to become an EE, is going to help you out later in your life. You put some years in here, you get some experience, you get paid well, right? You can then leave this job and go find something that you really want to do with the background of a really good company, working under a really good company for an extended period of time. What too many people do, unfortunately, is they bounce around companies too much because, oh, I don't want to do this, this is boring to me, I don't really like doing this, I don't like whatever. And you don't end up with any real knowledge from that because you don't spend enough time there. And, you know, it's one thing if you're fucking, you know, trying to figure shit out, but at some point it's got to be like, damn, I got to start locking down.
At what point does it become like, you know, because obviously, like, all right, we're at this point in retrospect, we're really young, right?
Yes.
At what point, in your opinion, because you hear all these motivational speakers and stuff be like, oh, you know, like, pursue what you want to do, whatever. Yeah. Like Gary Vee and shit. Everyone knows Gary Vee.
Mm-hmm.
At what point is it like, because obviously, like, I'm 22. People, I say, like, oh, I don't really want to do this. I want to do something else. Realistically, if I did that, a lot of people would say, like, yeah, that's fine. Go do something else because, like, you're young. Try something. Like, take risks. You know, now that I, especially since I have the degree under my belt, like, go out. In 10 days, right? Go do something you want to do. And it's like, at what point, like, at what age does it become like, all right, dude, like, you got to have shit figured out at this point? Like, in your opinion? It's a tough question, right?
It's a tough question. I feel, because we are still young. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like if you don't have it together by, like, 30, bro.
But isn't it weird how the pressure is always there to have it figured out?
Yeah, because you're your oldest you've ever been. And you always feel like, you know.
And, like, but the thing is, like, it comes from your parents, too, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It comes from a lot of people. Like, people are like.
The thing is, you see how much wealth and prosperity your parents have. I mean, relatively speaking, right? I know not everyone's poor, but.
Yeah.
Or not everyone's rich, but, you know. When you're 15 years old, you don't have as much money as your mom and dad, regardless, unless you're homeless, and I'm sorry about that. But in general, what I'm trying to say is that as you progress, and now I'm older, but, you know, I can't afford a house. I can't afford all this stuff that my parents still have. So it feels like, you know, the time is now that I have to start, because I want that shit, right? Now that I should be getting it. But it takes a lot of time, which is why I'm saying, you know, I feel like, personally speaking, I'm like, everyone should have their life together by 23, but I've been fairly lucky, but I've also put in a lot of hard work to get to where I am. But I'm saying, you know, if by 30, for some reason, you don't have, like, a steady job that you're doing, you haven't found whatever that is, then it's, you know, you're starting to get into some scary waters.
Yeah,
but I think, mean, like, before that, you know, this is our 20s, really, is a time for us to really, you know, go out there and try to find ourselves.
Figure it the fuck out.
Figure it out. Try different things. Do different things, right? This is what our 20s are all about because we're still super young. But I feel like once you start hitting 30, it's like, all right, bro, come on.
That's when people are like, yeah, like.
Because now you're starting to become a real man.
But it's like at the same, I think it also depends on, like, what your goals are, like. If you want to eventually, like, settle down, have a family, then, yeah, like, you have to figure some shit out. Because if you don't, like, I think this is the value in me, like, waiting it out and getting my degree instead of changing. I think this was part of the reason why I did it, was because, imagine I had dropped out of school. I thought about this when I was, like, 19, 20, right? If I were to drop out, let's say, theoretically, and I hadn't had it figured out now, you like my family, everyone would probably be looking at me like at 22 even being like, so like if I'm not doing something, like what are you doing? You know, like what?
But that's even, just from your perspective.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. That's the weird thing though, because like partially it's like you have to, if you want to go for something, you kind of have to detach from like your perspective on, like you have to be super mentally strong, not give a shit about what other people think, because people are obviously going to trash you if you're not doing like, if you don't, let's say for example, like people hear what we do and they're like, okay, like, wow, like this is put, some guys put together. But let's say, for example, I didn't finish a degree in electrical engineering and I dropped out and I was like, oh, I'm working on my own business. But like, you know, like, no, I haven't like, I'm not rich yet. Or like, I don't make that much money yet. And it's like, at that point, people would start looking at you like, what's this idiot doing? You know?
Yeah.
And like, for good examples, like Juan, right? Juan's starting his own like business or whatever. And like, I look at him sometimes and I'm like, dude, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know? But like, who knows? Because like, I might be the idiot and biting the bullet, because that's how like a lot of the stories kind of pan out, where it's like, you kind of don't want to be, you want to take a chance and go for it to be that like 1%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be, you don't want to think in your head like, what if?
But I still, even in his scenario, like, again, he's still young. He's still figuring out his life. So
exactly, but there's also still the perspective from the,
and it's not like that's his whole thing. Like, he still has a job.
Yeah, he does have a job, but would you say his job is a career?
But that's what I'm saying. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. What he wants to do? Did he tell you about being a fireman?
He didn't tell me that.
So he's been studying for a long time now, for like the past couple months. He's got to take like some entry exam. I believe it's next week. And then the actual like physical and written tests are in March. So it's like a process, but he's got to pass the first, it's like a psych eval basically. And he's doing that the next week, I believe.
Now that's an interesting profession.
Bro, and I think that's something that really, and I told him this, I think that's something that really fits him, because Juan's very different between me and you. He has a very different perspective of life.
Yeah.
You know, I like chemical engineering because, and I get satisfaction from it because I enjoy seeing things built. I enjoy problem solving hard situations. I like the environment that I'm in with the corporate and the plant and my community. I like that. But overall, like, this job isn't, and it doesn't matter to me, but just speaking objectively, this job isn't really important for the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like it means a lot to be a... It means a lot to me,
yeah,
but
like
it doesn't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things to be an engineer.
You tell someone
company.
In fucking like the middle nowhere, like...
Exactly.
In like America, like, they're I work this, they're going to be like, oh...
Yeah, like, okay, cool.
They won't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
For Juan, he likes feeling that his job matters.
Yeah.
Right? That's why he started to get into... He was really into when he was doing solar panels and selling those. Like, he got into it because, you know, it's energy efficiency and all this stuff, and trying to reduce natural resources. And... But eventually it got too much, and it wasn't really what he wanted to do because he wasn't enjoying it. But, you know, this stuff he's doing in between as either a waiter or a bartender or a host, you know, that's what he likes doing it. Like, he has
and
fun,
it's,
but
and
it's not...
something that he... It's not like his end goal is to do that.
Exactly.
It's just that he's doing it to keep him going.
Exactly, until he finds something that he wants to do. And like I said, he wants to take the fireman exam, and I told him, like, bro, being a fireman, I think, is exactly what he needs. He needs a job that, you know, is important in the grand scheme of things, that he likes helping others. I think that's a big thing about Juan. He loves helping others. And I just think that's, it's challenging as well. It has to do with physical, like he's obviously going to have to be in good physical shape. So that's going to help him there. He has a community around him where it's not just like random coworkers. Like you have to form essentially a brotherhood with these other firemen because you don't know what you're going to go into the next day.
I think he likes, correct me if I'm wrong. I have a feeling he likes, cause realistically, like, although like we have like similar, like, in the sense that we do have like different days every day, like for the most part, like we run into similar issues, right?
Yeah.
I think he needs something that like,
yeah,
is going to be like different on a daily basis. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, bang, like this is fucking happening. And like, you haven't experienced it. There's a protocol for it, but like, you've never experienced something like this before. And it's like, oh, I got to get out there. And like, I got to do something.
Yeah.
And I know some people, I know a kid who is a fireman, always wanted to be a fireman, high school, ended up doing all the exams, right? Got certified, passed all the physical tests, everything. And he's currently a fireman in this town, North Arlington.
Yeah.
And he's very, like, that's always what he wanted to do. And that's what he likes to do. I mean, like, it's just... And no, he does do other shit on the side, but that, he says he loves being a fireman. He loves that, like, how it's, you run into, it's kind of like a police officer as well, where you kind of just run into different issues on a daily basis, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's, it's always, they, you listen to those guys tell, like, stories about work, and it's probably some of the most interesting shit you'll ever hear, because it's exactly. Like, you don't run into that stuff, like, on a daily basis. Like, for us, it's like, I mean... Granted, like, I would argue that my job does have, like, a direct impact on people's lives.
Yes.
Like, directly.
But your work there, would you say? Specifically your work, does that
Well, like, I make shit happen. Like, if, let's say, for example, I'll give a scenario. Like, this happened last week. Like, equipment caught on fire. Half a town went... I can't give too much details because this is actually classified, but half a town was out of power for like however long. And it's like all hands on deck. Like shit goes into a frenzy trying to figure out what the fuck's going on and like restore people back to power. Because realistically, as much as you want to...
I feel like you gave it away.
No, not really. I mean, like, if people could say whatever they want, they don't know where and like
exactly. Nothing's confirmed yet.
I won't confirm the name. I actually let it slip the one time, but
yeah, we edited. Let it slip immediately after, but that was erased from history.
Yeah, but I mean, you get the idea where it's kind of like we're solving an issue that directly, and like we do run into issues where the electric vehicle, like, I mean, that's something that's gonna have a massive impact, like just on society itself. That's like a huge issue, an engineering issue that we have to solve. I think that it's the biggest, they're calling it the biggest thing that's happened to power since like the, like since air conditioning became a thing, you know, like in terms of like the load being put on the system, like nothing's compared to this, you know, like electric vehicle chargers. And, it's one of those things where, it is having like an impact, like the work that I do, but for me, it's not even about that. Like, I want to, it's as selfish as this is, like, I want to do something. I've always had this drive to do something for, like, I want to make a name for myself. Like, I don't want to be...
You want to get out of the rat race.
Yeah, I've always said that. I want to be out of the rat race. I want to do something that is, like, for, like, that I created. Yeah. Like, I did it's this. Yours. Or, like, it's mine, right? And I mean, like, I understand that, like, I took a different path than some of the people, and some people would argue, like, oh, you did it wrong. You should have, like, just gone 100% for what you did. But, like, what I kind of did was just lay the groundwork down for being kind of, for it being, just in case something doesn't work out, I have a fallback plan. If that makes sense, you know? And like I've always, like I've had a lot of different things that I wanted to do. Like everyone knows my love for poker. I've always wanted to be a professional poker player, but that also is like, you know, that had to be put on the back burner because of school and shit.
Yeah.
which kind of sucks, but like I want to get back into it. Like there's a lot of different things that I want to do, and it's tough in the sense that like the reason why I don't want to pursue something 100% is because I don't have it figured out. Like this is what I want to do.
Yeah,
because
you're not set.
Yeah, I'm not set on like an idea being like, I have a lot of different ideas, but I'm not set on one idea being like, that's it. That's the idea that I want to do. Like the app that I told you about, like that's close. But like, even that, it's like, you think about it and I'm like, am I really going to be like happy? You know, like even if it were to work out, God forbid it became like some fucking big company or whatever. Like, I'm just saying hypothetically, like, is that really what I want to do? Are those the problems I want to solve on a daily basis?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And that's kind of the mental struggle that you kind of come across, but it goes to show that like, no matter what you do in life, it's kind of like, you're always going to run into that issue of the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's that simple. Like, oh, I won't have to deal with this if I just do this. Like, people don't realize how much of a, like, I think to myself as well, like, if I'm running my own business, like, people don't realize that's more stress than you could imagine on yourself.
Because it's your own money on the line. Yeah. And if it all goes wrong, you don't have anything. So it's difficult.
You can make the big bucks, but you could also lose a ton of money. It's not like you have a safe, set salary. And that's where you trade off, like,
exactly,
I'm pursuing this. What if down the line my company fails in 3-4 years and I'm stuck at 26, 27? Now I'm married. My wife's pregnant, theoretically. I'm just bringing up this.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have a stream of income, or I'm losing money. I'm not that rich. It's like, you know, like, you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of constant mental battle I have. You know, it's like, do you take the safe route, which almost is a, not necessarily, but almost as a guarantee, like, this is kind of like the general route you're going to take in terms of financially, right?
Yeah.
Or are you going to take the risky route where it's like, you don't know, but it has that like high risk, high reward, you know, like it could become something massive, but if it doesn't, what then? Right. And that's kind of the trade-off you have to do. And I think that people, I give people credit who don't think about that, but I also like question them in the sense that for a lot of people it doesn't work out, and then what do? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said that I have a fallback. I would just, you know, become a police officer or some shit. But not everybody has the capabilities to have that fallback. So for me, I kind of have my set plan for my life. You know, the degree that I got from NJIT certainly helped. If I didn't have it, I don't know if I would have gotten it. I definitely wouldn't have gotten the job that I've had. But for me, I was even a late bloomer, right? I didn't have my first real job until the summer going into my sophomore year of high school. And then it was just anytime I came back from school, I did trainings. You know, it's not like I was doing a real job or anything like that. It was hourly. You know, I might get 3 or 4 sessions one day, a couple sessions another day. That's it for the week. The biggest times I got money was from summer camps where I was just week long. But that was stupid. Like, it wasn't anything important. So my first real job was Shamrock. And the only reason I got that is because I started from a very low position and worked my way up. So a lot of it,
And you had a pretty stacked fucking resume.
Yeah, obviously. But I didn't, but that's what I'm saying. You know, that stacked resume did nothing for me. Yeah. I went to career fairs. I applied online.
You had to grind for it, yeah.
I didn't get any offers. I didn't even get any interviews, right? The only reason I got into Shamrock was because I just got a job there as an operator. Literally as a labor worker. And I got lucky that a position opened inside the laboratory. And I got to intern there and show them. Like, that's how I worked my way in. My resume did nothing.
Sometimes that's what it takes, though.
My resume wasn't stacked, with work experience. And to me, that's what I've seen is way more important when you're applying for jobs.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your degree is. It doesn't matter what your GPA is. It doesn't matter what extracurricular activities you did inside the school, as far as me being in Teague and soccer.
Yeah.
What mattered to all the fucking people that were in businesses was what's your work experience?
And who you know.
Yeah, obviously who you know as well. That's probably arguably more important.
That's the most important by far.
But I'm just saying, since I didn't know anybody, the only thing I could really provide to them was work experience. But my question is, how could I get work experience if everyone is asking for fucking work experience
as a prerequisite? Yeah, exactly. How do you get that first position? It's like you have to know. Like, that's how I got the current position I'm in now, and probably that's the reason why I eventually... Granted, I got lucky with who my supervisor was, and he's done a lot for me while I got in, but... Before that, how did I get the in? It was because I knew someone at the company, and it's that simple. And I mean, granted, like, a lot now that after you get that first bit of experience, though, it goes so far. I mean, like, there was a company I got contacted by a recruiter, a company in Connecticut, and she said, "Oh, these are the requirements." It said 3.2 GPA. I don't have a 3.2 GPA. I'm above a 3. Quite right on the cusp. I'm worried it might, like, I'm really worried, but like, it's gonna be a close one.
Go back to study hall.
Well, no, I don't have to worry about that. No, but no, I'm like right on the cusp, right? And a company had a requirement of a 3.2 GPA, and I said to the recruiter, I said, "Sorry, I don't have a 3.2 GPA. I don't qualify." Right. Yeah. That was it. And she goes, "Let me just send my resume to the guy, see what he says." She goes, "The guy is really interested in your work experience. They'll give you an interview." Yeah. And it's like, you see, like, that, because even though there could be a guy coming out of school with a fucking 3.8, 3.9 in my major, and it's like, that's all well and good. But at that point, I had a little over a year of experience doing in that industry. Doing that, you know, like, that goes further than any kind of GPA or anything, because once you're able to get that first, but the problem is obviously that a lot of people face is, how do you get that first internship? You know, you realistically, oftentimes you do have to know someone, and it's a challenge, but you had your in, like, you found the, everyone kind of, that's the weird shit about life though, right? You always just find the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the, I thought to myself, I was thinking this to myself, like, last night, like, there was so many times where I was like, how the fuck am I going to do this? Like, it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And you think back to all, like, the problems that you, the challenges that you faced along the way. And it's like, think about how, like, that grade that didn't go your way or something really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, isn't that, like, I think that's the craziest thing. It's like, at one point in your life, like, the problem you face now won't mean shit.
It doesn't, you know. Yeah. As you get older, like, I've even seen that, you know, problems that you think are super big don't really aren't,
you know. It's crazy, man.
I've become more tolerant of a lot of things.
Yeah, you see, like, your boss fucking eats you the fuck out or something. It's like,
never happened, but
it's like, I mean, no, I haven't either, but I did get accused the other day of costing the company $800,000 in cash flow with, like, a couple other people. Immediately, my supervisor came to my defense. Granted, it wasn't my fault.
What? What happened?
Just long story short, it actually wasn't my fault, but I was kind of in the midst of it, and the PM accused me of, like, prioritizing other shit ahead of this, and, like, work wasn't done on time. So the company had predicted X amount of cash flow, and we didn't end up doing the work. So basically, the company allocated funds for work that wasn't done, right? Whatever.
Okay.
But it wasn't my fault, because realistically, what's an intern going to do? You know, who do I go to? My supervisor. So kind of it was my supervisor's fault, but I was this guy, basically, like, the person who's in charge of cash flow essentially said, like, "Well, we predicted this," and he basically called out my name and, like, one of my coworkers' names. Is like, "You guys are, like, you guys are responsible for this missing cat. Granted, the guy's got a useless job. Doesn't add value to the company, in my opinion. But
okay,
that's whatever.
Besides the point.
I mean, it could still cause issues. My supervisor was attached on the email, immediately came to our defense. Because realistically, like, he was the one that was like, I mean, I'm going to them. Yeah. And saying, like, okay, when do we schedule, like, when's this? And it's like, things happen, you know, in our job, things happen, whatever. And you have to prioritize certain things. Like, it's not like we're prioritizing a certain project. For example, like, the fire that happened. What do you prioritize? People who are out of power? Or, like, a brand new project where stuff has to get done?
People need power.
People need power. That's the main responsibility of the company, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. And it's like, it is what it is. That's part of it. But, I mean, talk about, like, experience. You know, that's partially why, like, my experience went a long way, because I have that responsibility where it's like, yeah, like, this is a reality I have to face. Like, people are going to, like, say, like, listen, like, you gotta be held accountable if, like, you don't achieve certain deliverables, you know? And it's, I mean, you know, I always battle in my head, like, whether it's worth it or it's not worth it, you know, or what I want to do. But
you're still young too,
and like we talked about earlier,
both of us have time.
Things are gonna be, in 5 years, the issues that I face now realistically won't matter as much, if anything.
Exactly. You know?
That's the weird. Like, you think about the things you were super worried about 5 years ago. How many problems of those, like, really have impacted you or still are a problem, or like things that you're worried about or didn't figure themselves out? Nothing. Like, probably nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the weird thing. And when like, I kind of remind myself of that. I don't know if you do, but I remind myself, like, listen, like, things always end up working out, you know?
Yeah.
And then when things are going good, things always end up
hitting. Something's gonna
happen. Things always hit the fan, you know? Shit always hits the fan, but, you know,
not only hitting the fan, but hitting the streets. This week, our Too Deep podcast limited edition sweatpants. We got them made. They're sitting here on my bed. Everything's washed. Everything's clean, ready to go. So obviously, I already took mine. You guys might have seen that little post I put up that they came in, hit the gym with them first day. So I took mine. You probably are going to want a medium, because the large is big on me.
I wear, like, my bag and shit, though. I wear super. How many larges are there?
One more. I took one. There's one more. That is the small for Christina. These are for Megan and Andrea, which means we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five more mediums and one large left. We will be selling these for $20. Not $25, because they don't have pockets.
Yeah.
I thought they had pockets. They don't have pockets, so I took off $5. But they're still fresh. They're sleek, super comfortable, super light, but they keep you warm. The logo is subtle. You obviously saw nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Got our main logo as well as Too Deep on it. So I think that...
Get something to rep the gang, man.
Exactly. If you guys... Want to
chill around the house
If you missed out on the sweatshirts, you got to be one of the first people to hit us up. And it's first come, first serve. Somebody asked for the large. And then even if there's mediums left and somebody asked for another large, they're going to have to take a medium. So, again... We have five mediums and one large available for $20 each. So hit us up, either DM us or text us if you have our numbers, and get something in. I'll be putting up a post pretty soon after this episode gets put out, and we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like, you guys got to get your merch, man. Get your fucking merch. I mean, come on, man. This is limited edition shit, you know? But,
you guys, the deep, what's happening, man? What's happening?
No one's commenting.
I will say this, actually. We have a partial from the deep. One of my coworkers, this past week, we were talking. We want to go to a hockey game. Devils, something like that. But it's the same day as our U.S. Open Cup game. She's like, oh, like, let me know what days during the week work for you. And I was like, well, next semester I have class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And he was like, oh, what about Thursday? And I was like, well, Thursday I record my podcast usually with my boy. And then we started getting into it. So he said he's going to be sponsoring us soon.
Wow.
He'll be bringing us in a six-pack. And
He's invited on.
He was actually my sponsor when I was in marketing.
Well,
there you go.
That would be an interesting guest, but... Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of 2D Podcast. 93 in.
7 away. Start getting prepared. We have to start getting prepared. Yeah, we got to start going through the episodes, finding out our favorites. It's going to be an episode on the history of 2D Podcast.
Be ready. It's going to be big. See you next week.
I'm thinking for the 100th episode, champagne.
I like that. I like that. I like that. I like it a lot. I like it a lot.